We turn to Psalm 73, and after that, turn just briefly with me to John chapter 10. Psalm 73, and then John chapter 10. Notice that, as is often the case in the Psalms, you have the very thesis statement in the very first verse. Our children might notice that. If you want to know the content of the psalm, just read the first verse, and you have it right there. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters out of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children, thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I should desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And then turning to John chapter 10. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, and he talks about himself as the shepherd, and his people as the sheep. And the result of that instruction we find beginning in verse 19. Then there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, that is, for the things that Christ had just taught them. And many of them said, He has a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I tell you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Thus far the reading of God's Word. And now back to Psalm 73. And we focus our attention this morning on verses 24 and 5. God shall guide me with His counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And therefore He says, nevertheless, I was with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand. We don't always understand the way of the Lord with us. In fact, sometimes we are very puzzled. The various situations and the events in our life don't seem to be for us. In fact, they seem to be against us. And sometimes we would even murmur and complain about that. At least we are puzzled as to the way the Lord leads us. That gives us a connection with Asaph. Because you see, that's exactly the way he felt, and he pins that for us in Psalm 73. And that's no doubt why we have Psalm 73 in our possession. So that you and I, oftentimes bewildered in the ways of the Lord with us, have some comfort, and we can take hold of the sustaining grace of God, which always leads us in calm serenity. Asaph, too, did not understand. There were two things that bothered him. In the first place, he said, it seems that those who are ungodly, the wicked in this world, they prosper. There are no bands in their death. They're not in trouble like other men. Things don't seem to bother them like they bother me, he said. Furthermore, it seems that the Lord rests His hand upon me. I am plagued. The Holy Spirit continually chastens me and steers me in the way everlasting. It seems to me that that's not to my profit as far as the things of this world are concerned. And then, as you know, according to the flesh, he is taken over by envy. And envy takes hold upon him. And he becomes envious at the proud. And those in this world who prosper. And he looks at himself and he begins to feel sorry for himself, as if the Lord is not blessing him. But then he comes to his senses. The Lord does that in the sanctuary, as he tells us here. In the sanctuary, it's all made plain to him that even though it seems that the wicked prosper and increase, and that the hand of the Lord is heavy upon him and seems to be against him, that's not the truth of the matter. And when we ask ourselves the question with regard to these things, as oftentimes we do, and we say to ourselves, what's going on in the midst of this world? Why am I the one who seems to be denied? Why am I the one that has to suffer? Why does it seem that the hand of the Lord is against me? And why do the wicked go about their own way merrily, and they are enjoying themselves, and there are no bands in their death, and they're not in trouble like I am? And the Lord makes plain the truth of the matter. Brings him, as I want to point out this morning to you, back to the basics. And the basics are these. The Lord's grace is always upon his children. No matter where you find them in life, or no matter what the Lord is accomplishing with them in life to mold and to shape them, it is always the hand of the Lord that leads them in the way everlasting. And the child of God is never outside of the care of the living God. And as far as the wicked are concerned, Asaph understood that the curse of the Lord abides in their house, and that no matter how much they are blessed, and no matter how much that causes envy in your eyes and in my eyes, and no matter how much we look at the world and say, wish we were with them, the Lord is setting them in slippery places in order that He may cast them down into destruction. Never, ever, are we separate from the love of God. Never, ever is the Lord against us. No matter how it may seem, no matter how it may feel, to think that is utter foolishness. And sometimes you and I, with Asaph, are exactly that foolish. That we would even dare to think that God is against us and that He prospers the ungodly. That's what our text is all about. The fundamental truth that you and I are perpetually with God, or maybe we could say that God is always with us. Three things. First of all, we oftentimes tend to doubt that. In the second place, let's understand fully the care of God for us, and then let's see that we can live in that care of God in confidence. And we ought not to be foolish to think that God is ever against us. Perpetually with God, our doubt, God's care, and our confidence. You know that word nevertheless is a tremendous little word that you find in verse 23. That's a word that's like that word but. And I think from the pulpit we've oftentimes pointed out that that word, that little adversative, speaks volumes oftentimes. So does this word nevertheless. Because you see that word nevertheless sets the circumstance and the setting of what Asaph is about to say. Just like that word but calls to attention everything that has happened, but this is the truth of the matter. So now you have that word nevertheless. It seems that the Lord is against me in every way. Nevertheless, I have come to understand that that certainly is not the way it is. We're rather familiar with Asaph. We've oftentimes turned to Psalm 73. I think in the past I've even preached a series on Psalm 73, and from time to time we've turned to individual texts in Psalm 73. Asaph was a child of God. In today's language we would say he's a Christian, although he was an Old Testament Jew, you understand. But he was a pious child of God who sought the ways of the Lord and the precepts of the Lord. He was not just a nominal Jew. He was not just a nominal Christian. You see, a nominal Christian is not plagued the way Asaph was plagued. A nominal Christian isn't plagued the way you and I are troubled from time to time. A nominal Christian, and you have much of that today, is one who easily conforms himself, to use the language of last Sunday, easily conforms himself to the ways of the world. He can do that even as quickly as he can change his jacket. So that on church, on Sunday, he's in church, he's very pious, he listens to the Word of God, but when the chips fall on Monday, and it is to his advantage to conform himself to the world, he is not a very deep Christian, and he easily does that. So he nominally says, I'm a child of God, but practically speaking, don't push me in that direction. We're familiar with that. Asaph was a sincere child of God, and we know that because he is plagued
A nominal Christian isn't troubled when he conforms his ways to the world. In fact, he will mock you and he will mock me when we take the things of God very seriously. He doesn't appreciate that at all. He allows enough room in his life to compromise. And when it comes to the strict application of the precepts of the Word of God or obedience to the Word of God, he doesn't bother himself with those things. But that's not the way it was with Asaph. Two things were happening in his life. It seems as if the Lord was adding insult to injury. In the first place, when he looked round about himself in this world, he saw that the wicked prospered. They increased. It seemed to go well for them in this life. According to the flesh, they had everything their hearts could desire. And that was the case, he noticed, even when they spoke wickedly, and when they oppressed the people of God, when they spoke loftily, when they set their face against the heavens in mockery against God, it still seemed to all fall into place for them. Or, to use a vernacular, whatever they touched turned into gold, it seems. But for Asaph, that didn't happen. In fact, quite different. Asaph found that the Lord oftentimes chastened him, and that his hand was heavy upon him, and that when he even reached out toward the prosperity that the wicked enjoyed, the Holy Spirit bore witness within him and said, "Not my child, that's not for you." Or when he tried to conform his ways to the things of this world, he was continually reminded that he was a pilgrim, he was a stranger here below. The Lord laid his hand upon him. The Lord does that with his people. The Lord doesn't prosper them like he prospers the wicked. The Lord gives things that are restraints upon his life. The Lord inhibits him in one way or another so that he can't run with the world. The Lord brings difficulties that bring him closer to him. That's the way of the Lord with his people. So it seems as if the Lord was adding insult to the injury that was already there. And Asaph, therefore, turned in envy. He became envious. He became envious at the proud. And he asked himself the question, how can it be that I, who lead a good and a holy life, have to struggle this much? And how often don't we experience exactly the same thing? How is it that we who attempt to lead holy and sanctified lives, who respect the commandments of God, why do things come so in such a difficult way to us? And why do we not have a clear path? And why sometimes does it seem as if the Lord even presses us down more and more and he denies us the very things that seem to make it easy for us in the midst of this world? You ever ask yourself a question, beloved? Asaph did. He said, what's the use? What's the use of a Christian life? It doesn't pay dividends. It doesn't get me anywhere in this world. It oftentimes brings suffering and distress. It takes things away from myself and from my family. It makes many difficulties for me in this world. And then, you know, the devil is always on the side, and he taunts us with those very things. So you and I receive the devil that wants to encourage us to leave the ways of the Lord, and we have the world that mocks us, and we throw up our hands, and we say, it's all in vain. It's all emptiness. It serves no good purpose. That's the conclusion that he comes to. But even as he comes to that conclusion, the Lord immediately takes hold upon him and tells him, that's not right, Asaph. He says that. it was too painful for me. Within the core of his being, he understood that envy was not the right way to go, and that his conclusion was all wrong. And it is that core, you understand, that you and I need to get hold of. And it is that core that we need to understand. And in order to do that, we have to get back to the basics. That's so important in life. To get back to the basics. To have a good grasp of the way things really are. Not the way things appear. Because, you see, things are not always the way they appear to be. That was the problem. It appeared as if the wicked prospered and increased. It appeared as if the blessing of the Lord was upon them, when in reality the Lord was setting them up for destruction. It appears that the hand of the Lord is against us. It appears that the Lord denies us, when in reality the Lord is dealing with us as His children in the way of His grace, guiding, molding, shaping us, that in this life we may be prepared for the glory which is afterward. Need to get back to the basics. The older I get, the more I begin to understand that. And the older you get, the more you will begin to understand that the very basics of the Word of God, which you were taught, in the doctrines which you grasped, in the fundamentals of the Christian religion, will stand you in good stead and will guide you. And they are much needed, especially when there is so much confusion in this life, and when sometimes we seem to be at sea, and we don't know where the Lord is leading us or what He's doing in our life, and we have many questions. Then we need to get back to the basics. Then we need the anchor of God's Word. I've often been asked the question, why, Pastor, do you put such a great emphasis on catechizing the youth of the congregation? Why do we do that today when in many churches it's fun and games? Why do we insist on teaching the deep meaning, the significance of Old Testament Bible stories? Why do we drill that into their minds? Because that's the means of the preaching of the Word, whereby the Holy Spirit puts the doctrines of the Word of God and embeds them in their heart and soul, that will be a foundation to them, a guide, a basis from which they can judge everything in this life. We had it just last week. Ask the children to tell you. See if they learned the very critical issue that Joseph said to his brethren. Runs parallel to Psalm 73. And you meant it for evil, but God did it for good. And you sold me into the slave markets of Egypt. You couldn't put it past you to kill me. And the Lord blessed me. And the Lord did that. Why? So that providentially I could be in Egypt. The hand of the living God was upon me, the way in which Jacob and his brothers could finally flourish in the land of Goshen and finally be prospered so that they could go into the promised land. It was the providence of the living God, exactly the same as we teach in Lord's Day 10. And that's doctrine. No, that's the basis upon which you and I found our living here below. The basics. And here the basics are these. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Now that nevertheless takes into account two things. In the first place, the situation in his life, which from an outward, carnal, earthly point of view was not a good one, which was suffering and distress, which was oppression at the hands of the wicked. And in the second place, the fact that Asaph was about ready to run away from the Lord. Those two things he has in mind. Number one, the hand of the Lord is against me, and the Lord prospers the wicked, all wrong. Number two, I have done it all in vanity, and there's absolutely no reason for the Christian life, and I might as well move on and conform myself to the world, because their life is more pleasant than mine. But the Lord kept his grasp on Asaph. Notice that. I was continually with thee. Though the Lord could have shown me the door at any time, and sometimes you and I, according to the flesh, we yearn for that. And we just as soon be done with religion and all the obligations of religion, and we like to live like the world for just a little while and be free according to the lust of the flesh. And the Lord doesn't let us go. I am continually with thee. That's God. That's our Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 10. And you're not of my sheep. And you may know this, that my sheep hear my voice. And no one is going to pluck them out of my Father's hand, nor out of my hand, and the Father and I are one. You and I may try to run from the Lord. We may try to have all our fallacious arguments. We may even say with Asaph, before we go to the sanctuary and get straightened out, that all these things are vanity and empty, and the Lord does not let us go when He should and He could, but by His grace He sustains us. And Asaph says there's three things that are true. No matter what your life is about, no matter what my life is all about, no matter what the circumstances of life, no matter whether you are rich or poor, whether healthy or sick, whether on our deathbed or whether we're in the joy of having a child into our home, it doesn't make any difference. Whether we are in prosperity or adversity, it doesn't make any difference. This is invariably true. We are always irrevocably in the hand of the Almighty God. And then you notice there are three things that are brought to light here. The Lord will guide me by His counsel, and He will afterward take me to glory. In the meanwhile, He holds me by my right hand. Not God's right hand, by my right hand. The Lord guides me by my hand according to His counsel. And as He guides me, He undergirds and He holds me. And He does that so that finally He can take me into the glory of heaven. That's all of my life and all of my existence. You see how those three things are very beautifully connected? You see how the upholding and the sustaining and the guiding of the Almighty God is according to His counsel? taken way back into the predestinating grace of God, where you and I are inscribed upon the palms of the hands of the living God, where He has justified us in the blood of the Lamb, where He has made us His children, where He has planned for us the whole of our life, finally into the eternity of heaven. And then you and I, in the realm of time and space, in all our circumstances in this life, as we stand in the midst of this living, God guides, God directs, and sometimes you and I need to be directed in very difficult ways, and sometimes we need to be chastened, but always it is the dealing of the Lord our God. And sometimes it needs to be what you and I exactly pray not happen in our life. We need to be led into temptation like a David who had to number the people, because we have to learn our lesson the hard way. But all the while, God is molding us and God is shaping us. God is trying us so that we may be purified as with fire. And that's the scripture throughout. Is it not? Begin with Romans chapter 8, the golden chain of salvation. How many times has it not been called to our attention from the pulpit? And whom the Lord predestinates, He calls and justifies and glorifies. That's an unbroken chain. God doesn't change His mind. It isn't as if God can't perform His good pleasure. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Go further in Romans 8, and I am persuaded that neither death nor hell, principalities, power, nothing can ever separate me from the love of God. And he writes to the Philippians, his beloved congregation, and he says, the work which God has begun in me, he will totally finish unto the very end. He knows that glory awaits him. Or turn to Hebrews, when you and I sometimes are chastened, and whom the Lord chastens, he loves. And if chastening isn't there, beloved, then you and I are bastards. We're the children of the living God, and we feel His hand upon us. So He guides us. He directs us in His way, according to our necessities. He knows exactly what we need, and He preserves us all the while, and He never lets us go. That's the fifth point of Calvinism, you know. You'll find that in the last head of doctrine in the canons. Read that again sometime. And so He guides, and so He directs, and afterward He takes us to the glory of heaven. What a way to live. What a sustaining comfort to have. When you and I throw up our hands, when we don't know where the Lord is taking us, when all of life seems to make exactly no sense, then we get back to the basics. Like Asaph does. Then we rely upon the things that the Scripture teaches us. The fundamentals. We call them the doctrines of the Word of God. Then we put our hands upon those things and we trust in the living God. And we're not tossed to and fro. And we're not discouraged. Then we understand that God is always for us, can never be against us, says the Apostle Paul. And all things have to work together for our good. And when even the beginning of the thought comes in our mind, as it did with Asaph, that God is against me, and when even the beginning of the thought of envy enters our mind, squelch it. Trust in God. And know that we're in the palm of His hand from eternity to His glory. Lord, when my feet almost slipped, Thou didst hold me. When I didn't know which way was up, Thou didst lead me with Thy counsel. And when I close my eyes in death, Thou wilt take me into glory. That's our God. We thank Him We need not be discouraged. We need not be puzzled. We need not question Him. We are perpetually, always in His hand from birth into the glory of heaven. Amen.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning, binded upon our hearts. May we in our discouragements, in our sometimes bewilderment, put our trust in Thee alone, the unchangeable God, who holds us in the palm of His hand, who guides us by His counsel, who takes us into glory finally. Amen.